This is Andy.
And this is Matt.
And you're listening to
The Hop Podcast with No Name.
What a dumb name.
It's so stupid. Episode 31, if you're listening. I hit the record button and looked at you like I was going to interview you for the most serious thing you've ever done. And then I was like, that's not what's going to happen here.
Nope.
Not even close. But we're ready.
We are ready.
We have an idea. And we two microphones and something to record it on.
Which is very dangerous.
Which is how every episode starts. So we are primed and ready.
Oh my goodness, yes. All right, so we think we want to have a little bit of conversation around integration of hop concepts, period.
Yeah. Which is seemingly a hot topic.
Yes, it is.
Not like the clothing store.
Hot topic. Oh, no, that's not.
That's Hot Pockets from a Jim Gaffigan stand-up. Okay. Anyway.
Well.
Hop integration, not yes. Hot Pockets.
No, neither of those things. So where this came from is that we were recently at a conference and there was a larger audience and I'm, you know, standing up and talking about, you know, the general concepts of what hop is. Specifically, we were talking about accountability in hop. And after the discussion, I mean, it went like well, right? Like just what we would, I guess, normal. And then you and I went to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat down and then unbeknownst to this person, somebody came up, sat near to us, had no idea we were there and started to talk through their thoughts about the session.
Yeah. So you and I were at a table
mm-hmm.
and we're sitting down and I'm just really drilling into you about how much better you could have been. Where all your flaws are as a both a person and as a presenter.
Yep.
And someone doesn't see you, or maybe me, or doesn't know who I am. That's all probably relatable. But they come in and they just sit at a separate table.
Correct.
And they don't know we're there. And they start talking about what they heard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which was actually incredibly helpful because it was completely unvarnished feedback. Period.
Yeah.
Yes. And the summary of what they said was
to a colleague, not to us.
We just happened to be right there. And it was a fairly loud conversation was, yeah, that was good and all, but, she's preaching to the choir and like, no one can tell you what you're actually supposed to do with this hop stuff. So it's not really helpful. Period.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot longer than that. That was a summary. And this was actually immediately after the person who presented before you said, like, hop is the next thing that we need to spend time and energy on. And then you came up and you did your thing. And then this feeling still after that was,
yeah,
it's all well and good, but no one knows how to use it. So
nobody knows what to do with it, right? And it's not helpful. And the audience for this particular conference or group, that most of the folks that were sitting there were people that are either safety professionals, process safety engineers, people that oftentimes have like a small team, or they might be an independent contributor working for a facility or working for a service team. And that was the main audience. And so the feedback was, hey, yeah, we hear you. You're preaching to the choir. But what are we actually supposed to do with any of that information? Because I can't control anyone else around me and you don't have to convince me this is a good idea. I already know it's a good idea, but I can't do anything with it.
Yeah. It's like if I went to a sales convention and I stood up in front of a bunch of people, I was like, the trick to selling is getting more customers and then you get them to give you money and that's good. That's what it sounded like they were saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, so that brings us to this topic of integration. And And I think there's a couple things that we kind of want to sort out around integration and then give some like tangible, hey, there's some things that we can do with it, depending upon what level you are in the organization. Because I think that perhaps that's where we all get stuck, where I used to feel stuck as well. I remember hearing about the concepts within my own organization and not necessarily having an enormous amount of support to use them everywhere. Like at the time that I learned about the concepts, I had many different dotted line bosses, and some of them had heard about HOP and had kind of no opinion about it. Others hadn't heard about it at all, and others heard about it and vehemently believed it was a bunch of boohooey and that we shouldn't be going in that direction. So I had all sorts of interesting spectrum.
A wide range
of people and their thought process around me. And I used to, I remembered.
And wait, hold on. Because yes. This is important. This is going on 10 plus years ago.
Yes.
And you're not very old. That's all I can say. So at this point, you want to go try this. It's not as if you've been working in this organization for 20 years and you're like, wow, I have a bunch of authority or
correct.
I'm fairly new,
very little authority in terms of direct authority. Very little authority in terms of influential authority because I hadn't been in one place for long enough, but I really wanted to use the concepts, but also similar to the folks that were sitting in that room, nobody could tell me how to use them either. And so that can either be something that's tremendously frustrating
or beautifully empowering.
one of the two, right? And luckily for me, I guess it was kind of empowering when I realized that, you know, we had to kind of figure out how to use the concepts. But I remember in that moment of learning about these things and having these various dotted line bosses and thinking, you know, if they just understood it, like if my bosses just got this, everything would be so much easier. And now I'm in a place where I actually get to talk to those bosses, right? So I get to do something that I didn't have a lot of authority to change anyone's mind at that point in time. And now I have, you know, a little bit of influence in being able to talk to a group of people. So I would get to talk to those folks now. And what's interesting is that they say the exact same thing that I said, meaning their thoughts are, I get this. I want to use these concepts. I do use these concepts, but there's a limitation to what I can do because my boss doesn't understand it. And then I get to go talk to that boss. And they say the same thing, except they're talking about, you know, the senior leaders of the organization. And then I get to talk to the senior leaders and they say the same thing, except they're talking about the CEO. And then I go get to talk to the CEO and they say the same thing, except they're talking about the board. And then I talk to the board and they're like, yes, but the shareholders, right? So somewhere along this chain, I guess many people feel as though they're hand tied or that we don't have the ability or agency to change something until somebody else changes. And maybe that's like the first piece of understanding the integration aspect of HOP is that there's never going to be like a perfect time in which everyone has changed unless on the adoption scale of these HOP concepts, you're one of the last people to hear about it. Meaning everyone else, like if you're looking at like early adopters and, you know, late adopters, if you're at the very end of sort of the late adoption process in your organization, then you're might be the last person, like everything will be in place for you to have, you know, the path paved in front of you. But then if you're that person, you're probably not listening to this podcast.
No. Oh, but if you find it years from now, I hope you're doing well.
Which means that everyone, as far as I know, in all of these spaces, in every organization, we're in the innovator and early adopter phase of this change, which means that the path is not paved, which means that integration takes a very different direction than maybe what we tend to be picturing.
So I think what we're talking about today, at least, is the idea that if you're waiting for macro level changes just to start doing anything differently, maybe that's not the best place to be. And maybe there are some that you can do within your own control to start the integration journey.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
I did that in 6 seconds, just if anyone's keeping score. Okay.
Because in organizations that have already gone down this path, those macro level changes, like changes to, for example, like an HR policy or changes to an investigation process or changes to an audit policy, those come about when the individual who is responsible for that program, like they're the person who owns the program or they're on a committee of people that change the program or update the program, it's when those individuals understand HOP concepts and decide that they want to make tangible change to that program in order to further the use of these HOP concepts in an organization. But that actually usually comes kind of further down the road, meaning there's a lot of other people that have heard about what HOP is, are struggling to try to figure out how to use the concepts before you end up influencing the, you know, honestly, usually just a handful of folks that have the responsibility or the ownership of a specific program for an entire organization. And it's usually not until those individuals are seeing the benefits of the concepts that sort of those macro level changes are made. But there's a whole lot of space before that that people tend to be in.
I just want to jump out ahead of something.
Yes.
Because if...
Is it a bus and is it coming fast?
No. No, I'm thinking about it. No. So what I think is important to call out is if you are hoping for that macro level change, it can not necessarily add up to what you think it's going to add up to if it is just changed tomorrow. Mm-hmm. If no one's actually thinking differently and we just decide, well, you know what, we're going to change our policies to align with whatever HOP pieces we want them to, that can be a bit of an issue. That said, we're not going to talk about this episode.
No.
We're going to pick a different episode to talk about that change where absolutely. We kind of put the cart before the horse and then see what happens throughout the organization. We've seen that happen, unfortunately, a couple times too.
Yeah.
That's not this episode, but I just want to get ahead of that as a thought.
Yeah. Yep.
Back to the micro level.
Back to the micro level. So now let's bring ourselves back to we're in this space before macro level is changed and people are like, I've heard about this HOP stuff and I want to do something differently. And the folks that we're going to focus on in the discussion right now are, I guess, the people that were kind of the equivalent of who I was in an organization when I heard this.
And it was probably a majority of the people in the room that you were speaking to.
Correct. Right? Yes, in this conference that we referred to.
Probably most conferences, it's the majority. It's not the...
Yeah, it's usually not the minority. And the reason we want to bring it up is because after hearing that feedback, so like after sitting in lunch and hearing that, my first thought was, well, of course there's things that you can do. I did a bunch of stuff. Like that's what my brain said. And I was like, oh, I never talk about any of the things that I did. And then I had all of these flashbacks of remembering being in that position in the organization and feeling like I didn't know what to do differently and having to sort of struggle through figuring out how to do things differently and just wishing that anyone, anywhere would give me an idea. And so I sat down after lunch and wrote on a scrap of paper that we borrowed from I think Dawn, who was presenting with us, of, hey, let me just scribble down anything that I can remember that I integrated these concepts into that were within my own control in the organization, not this macro level, but something that I could physically do differently.
And while you were hearing that during lunch and making those changes, I was thinking I probably should have got the burger. Because I couldn't hear it as well. So you were listening and I was sitting there like, I don't know, what do I do? I don't know, probably, maybe this wasn't the right choice. A little dry, the chicken that I got. Anyway, fast forward to you now having this list that you've created that is all the things you did, you physically went out and did when you were in the IC / maybe a couple of people you worked with.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're going to share a few of them and see if any of them are helpful. Sound like a plan?
Yep. We buried the lead 14 and a half minutes into the episode. That's what we're actually going to do on this episode.
And I have a picture of my hand scribbled list, and I'll tell you about a few things and see if any of them are useful. So the first thing that I did was, I realized that the way that I was doing investigations didn't make a lot of sense. And I wanted to bring different information to the leadership team. Great leaders make great decisions when they're given great information. But I didn't really know how to do that because I had to have root cause and corrective action 24 hours after an event occurred. And I had to then be able to present that with an operations leader on this large global call. And so my first sort of integration of these ideas was I had to buy myself time and space to learn differently. So I still went on the call that I was mandated to go to. So let's imagine we have an event, we have an injury, and I come up with the same, honestly, crud that I'd always come up with about causality 24 hours after an event. I get on this call, I present it, right? It's the same stuff. It's the retraining. It's the, you know, it's writing something else in the procedure, having a secondary check of something. And then at the end, I would say, I do want to do a deeper dive into this. And if I find something different, then I would like to come back and present what's different. That would buy me time. And then I would go do some operational learning with the folks that were doing whatever task was happening at the time the event occurred. And I wouldn't focus on the event itself, right? I would focus on the work around it. And I would learn a bunch of other stuff, define a bunch of other problems, right? Things that originally weren't on the list. And then I would volunteer, and I wish you could see my face, volunteer to go back on that call, which was a call, at least in my world, that nobody really wanted to ever be on because you're only there when you had an event and you're only there to, like, at this point in our history, just kind of get your analysis sort of ripped apart, and nobody really wanted to be on the call. But I would volunteer to go back on the call, and I would talk about what else we learned and talk about the difference in the problems.
So first of all, you're sweating all of a sudden. So I imagine that's how bad those calls were. So what I'm hearing you say is you checked the box still. You didn't, your requirement was root cause corrective action within 24 hours. You mm-hmm. still did that.
I did. Yeah.
And you did it well. You didn't necessarily just,
I did it the same amount of well I'd always done.
Yeah. You didn't show up and say, like, yeah, I have it, but I'm not going to share it because it doesn't matter. You did it. You accomplished it. But then you added on top and said, I don't feel settled. I want to keep learning.
Correct. Okay. Yep. So that's one way that I lived in sort of these two different worlds and integrated the ideas. And then I did that multiple times. So I didn't do it with one event. I did it many times. Anytime we had an event, my hope was to try to show that this extra amount of learning would be beneficial, but I never talked about it that way, right? I just executed it and shared what I learned. So that was thing one that I tried to change. Thing two is I changed the way that I was writing my audits. So I'll give a specific example. I fancied myself pretty good at understanding machine guarding requirements. So I could look at any machine and tell you where we were out of compliance. And I think historically that's pretty much all I would have done was write the number of places we were out of compliance. But in integrating these ideas into what I was doing, I actually would take a few minutes while doing the audit. And let's say I saw machine guarding out of place. Rather than writing, hey, the machine guarding is out of place, we're out of compliance, I'd grab one of the folks that do the work and I'd have them teach me a little bit about what they were doing on that piece of equipment until I could understand logically why the machine guarding would be out of place. And that's what I wrote down. And it was always something really specific. Like it would be, you know, working on part number, insert part number here on this specific lathe, when you're executing process Q, you can't have the guard in place because it blocks your view. So that's what I'd put in as the audit, as opposed to just this general out of compliance. So that would be like, if we're going to put general terms on what that is, that'd be go from seeking compliance to seeking operator struggle.
Question.
Yes.
How often in seeking operational struggle, operator struggle, would you just conclude that it was just someone being lazy?
Never.
What? shocking.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of one. Maybe I said never quickly and I don't like absolutes, but.
Too late. I control the editing of the podcast. No matter what you say next, if it's not never.
There was always some logical reason why something was amiss. And I think it was probably doing things like that repetitively that convinced me this was the right thing to do. I had to prove it to myself, period. People can say whatever they want about the subject, but the proof is in the pudding. You have to prove it to yourself by actually practicing the concepts. All right.
One more.
Okay.
And then we'll ask if it's helpful and people can tell us, and then maybe we'll do more.
Okay. That sounds like a plan. I think the third sort of easy change that I made was I applied, I think this was originally Todd Conklin's idea, the index card process. And all that is if you have an all employee meeting, I just handed out index cards to folks and I just asked them without thinking about it too deeply to write down the next place that an injury was going to happen. So all I needed to do that was permission from the plant manager to do this thing. And then in getting that, you know, you have a bunch of things that you probably could have predicted, meaning, you know, somebody says, well, there's an area back here that's slippery. Somebody's going to get seriously injured because of a slip hazard. So things that are known. But then I found several things that were very specific. And I didn't really know what they meant. And those are the ones that I went to go learn about. So there was, if I remember correctly, there was this process that was being done in FPI that people were very concerned about. And so I went to go into that area. And then the only other thing that I asked for was a little bit of time at the beginning of the day to talk to some of the folks that worked in that area. And then they taught me, right? And we learned that there's a lot of difficulties in this area, specifically with like overspray of this penetrant and what people were concerned about. In all of those activities, I think maybe the important piece is that I wasn't trying to convince people to believe in these concepts around HOP. Like I didn't see that as my role or my responsibility. All I was trying to do was integrate the ideas into everything that I had to do anyway. And that's where I put all my time and energy and effort. And in order to figure out kind of even where to make change, the mechanism that I used is I looked at my calendar and I wrote down all of the pieces of my job that I found personally frustrating, oftentimes because they didn't feel fruitful or they didn't feel like I was actually making change. And then I took each of those pieces and asked myself, can I hopify it, right? Can I add some of these concepts into what I'm doing to make that exchange of information more valuable? I don't know. So those are the first three. I have the list. I don't know. It's got like
10, 12,
quite a few
yeah.
more. So if it's helpful, we can share more of them. If it's not helpful, we'll move on to something else.
Two things. One, I think it's important that you said the last part, which is we often hear about what seems like a time ad, like a massive time ad to do anything that's HOP related. And what you were saying was you just evaluated what you had to do already and changed it. So you weren't necessarily adding a bunch of time.
No.
To what you were doing. You were just reusing the time you already had allocated for certain tasks.
Yeah. So like specifically, I had to do the audit anyway, and I wasn't able to operationally learn about every single audit finding, but I chose some of the ones that pop up a lot or some of the ones that it felt like really important that we got right because the consequence of, you know, for example, guarding not being in place could be extraordinarily high. So I'd pick a few of them to operationally learn in the moment. So I didn't add a considerable amount of time to what I was doing. I just tried to use some of the time that I had in my mind more wisely than I had done before.
Okay, great. And then part two is, can you say sorry real quick?
Sorry.
Okay. So in case any of the background noise came in from today's episode, just know that we're at Andrea's house as we recorded it. And if you're wondering how Matt's doing on his own journey, I only said one thing before we started recording, which was, is this person using a diesel-powered leaf blower onto the side of your house? Even though it's a neighbor doing their own thing somewhere far off. But thank you for listening. Episode 31, done. More to come on this topic.
Sounds good. Well, that's it.
Yep. Another one in the books. We did it.
If you want to send us any of your thoughts, actually fling us any of your thoughts, you can do so at the website, www.hoppodcast.com.
That's HOPPODCAST.com.
It's still such a stupid name.
We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening.